From Berean Free Presbyterian Church, we present Let the Bible Speak. Please have your Bible ready and stay with us as the Reverend Philip Owen opens the Scriptures to Let the Bible Speak.
Hello, welcome again to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Luke chapter 24, verse 46. Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. We're glad to preach His name in this nation and in this area of Western New York. The Lord Jesus Christ is the focus of this ministry. I encourage you again to write for your free magazine called Let the Bible Speak Quarterly. In the April 2000 edition, we have the theme of God, the World, and the Christian. Several articles of our ministers, and we have Let the Bible Speak News, Reaching the World, and a focus on India this month. The Bible study is in Hosea, the Prophet of Love. The feature is a testimony of a minister from prodigal to preacher. And we have Easter Meditations, The Silent Sufferer, and What the Resurrection Means to Us. Write for a free copy of this magazine. Our address will be given at the end of the program. This is an article on one of God's wonders. If you said to someone, "My God does great and unsearchable things, He does wonders without number," and they responded, "Really? Like what?" Would you say, "Like rain?" Job 5, verses 8 to 10 reads, "But as for me, I would seek God, and I would place my cause before God, who does great and unsearchable things, wonders without number. He gives rain on the earth and sends water on the fields." Is rain a great and unsearchable wonder wrought by God? Picture yourself as a farmer in the Near East, far from any lake or stream. A few wells keep the family and animals supplied with water, but if the crops are to grow and the family is to be fed from month to month, water has to come from another source on the fields. But from where? Well, the sky. The sky? Water will come out of the clear blue sky? Well, not exactly. Water will have to be carried in the sky from the Mediterranean Sea over several hundred miles and then be poured out on the fields from the sky? Carried? How much does it weigh? Well, if 1 inch of rain falls on 1 square mile of farmland during the night, that would be 27,878,400 cubic feet of water, which is 206,300,160 gallons, which is 1,650,501,280 pounds of water. That's heavy. So how does it get up in the sky and stay up there if it's so heavy? Well, it gets up there by evaporation. That's a nice word. What does it mean? It means that the water stops being water for a while so it can go up and not down. Then how does it get down? Well, condensation happens. The water starts becoming water again by gathering around little dust particles that are very, very small. What about the salt? Salt? Yes, the Mediterranean Sea is salt water. That would kill the crops. What about the salt? Well, the salt has to be taken out. So the sky picks up 1 billion pounds of water from the sea, takes out the salt, carries the water, or whatever it is when it is not water, for 300 miles and then dumps it, now turned into water again on the farm. Well, it doesn't dump it. If it dumped 1 billion pounds of water on the farm, the wheat would be crushed. So the sky dribbles 1 billion pounds of water down in little drops, and they have to be big enough to fall for 1 mile or so without evaporating, and small enough to keep from crushing the wheat stalks. How do all these microscopic specks of water that weigh 1 billion pounds get heavy enough to fall, if that's the way to ask the question? Well, it's called coalescence. What's that? It means the specks of water start bumping into each other and join up and get bigger, and when they are big enough, they fall. Just like that? Well, not exactly, because they would just bounce off each other instead of joining up if there were no electric field present. Never mind. Take my word for it. I think instead I will just take Job's word for it. I still don't see why drops ever get to the ground, because if they start falling as soon as they are heavier than air, they would be too small not to evaporate on the way down. But if they wait to come down, what holds them up till they are big enough not to evaporate? Yes, I'm sure there's a name for all that too. But I am satisfied for now that by any name, this is a great and unsearchable thing that God has done. I think I should be much more thankful than I am. May we be thankful for the rain He gives us here in Western New York and Southern Ontario. God is good to us. And may the goodness of God lead us to repentance. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy of the New Testament scriptures. This is Paul's last epistle before he was martyred for the cause of Christ. We read beginning with verse 7, "Consider what I say, and the Lord will give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the souls of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Our gracious Father, we pray again today that thou wilt speak to our hearts and show us the glory of Christ. May we, like Job, be able to say sincerely, "I desire thy word more than my necessary food." We ask that thou wilt be active in this whole area, drawing souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. I'd like to speak to us this morning on a living fact, not just a dead story, a dead historical account. The Holy Spirit was very careful in choosing the words, that is, verbal inspiration, but he was also very careful in choosing the grammatical elements, the tense of verbs, the number, the case, the gender, and so on, which we might include under the subject plenary or whole inspiration. God's word is the inspired scriptures. It is a historical fact that the person Jesus Christ of Nazareth lived, died, and rose again. But if he only meant to refer to the fact, especially in this passage, he would have used a different tense of verb or action word. But he wished to emphasize both fact and effect. It is not just factual that Christ rose from the dead. There are effects, there are results of his death, resurrection, and ascension. What power is in mere facts of history? We're not talking of dead facts here. We think really of man's history and man's feats and accomplishments. And in light of eternity, we'll realize they were dead facts. Someone has a consecutive hitting streak or a consecutive trophy-earning accomplishment. So these are enjoyed for a moment. As Paul said, they're corruptible crowns. But God's people are able to obtain through Christ incorruptible crowns, victories that are for time and eternity. This event, this living fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is what God uses to animate the soul, if you will. The resurrection is an abiding moment. It is not a past fact alone. Oh, it is a fact. It's not fiction that the Lord Jesus lived, he died, he was buried, and he rose again. But the Spirit of God is indicating to us the very present moment, the present abiding fact, if you will, of Christ's resurrection. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David is raised from the dead is the idea. It's a constant truth. It's an abiding moment. It is that which still saints are loyal to. Saints are still loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to keep remembering Jesus Christ, the one having been raised, the one who is raised and still raised from the dead. A real death. He had a real body. He was from the seed of David. He was a real person, not an idea, a thought, or merely a stagnant teaching. Liberalism teaches these things. Up from the grave, he arose, the Bible teaches. Many think of Christ at Easter. Really, every Lord's Day is to be a day that we remember that Christ rose from the dead. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, it tells us in Revelation 1. Every Sabbath, every first day of the week, every Lord's Day is to be a commemoration of that great historical fact and abiding moment that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. He is still in heaven, seated at God's right hand, still bearing the wounds to show what He did for His people. And saints are still loyal to Him. They have not turned away and said, well, He's invisible. We don't see Him, so we won't serve Him. Oh, it's a great truth that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and He sits from heaven, and He dictates and directs His people on earth in the victory of the gospel. Secondly, saints are still preaching Him. The apostle writes here that Christ was raised from the dead according to my gospel. It's agreeable to the gospel. It vindicates Paul as not having been original and heretical. It's congruous, if you will, with the gospel of the Scriptures. Jesus Christ's coming and Christ's dying and rising again and ascending to heaven and His imminent, His soon return are all according to the Scriptures. Paul was not preaching some isolated doctrine, isolated way. He was preaching the Scriptures that pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ showed His disciples from the law, the prophets, and the Psalms, the things concerning Himself. This is the apex of the good news of Christ's coming. There was great news when He was born. There was greater news that He rose from the dead. The life of Christ dealt with man's failure to keep the covenant of works or the law. The death of Christ delivered man from the condemnation of the law. The burial of Christ certainly was necessary to again fulfill Scripture, but as it were to bait His enemies and to show that His death was real. When Christ had the spear sent into His side, henceforth, the Bible says, came out blood and water. Those who are acquainted with blood and laboratories know that when blood is put into a jar, that the heavier blood cells fall to the bottom, and the serum, which is mostly water, rises to the top, showing that Christ indeed had died. He was not in a coma. Christ died for our sins, and He was buried. But His resurrection gave His people hope that they too in Him would rise again. No wonder why He still preached. Christ's death, burial, and resurrection is the message of the ages. It is the gospel that saves sinners from the wrath of God and delivers them unto eternal life. This is the message that ought to captivate our souls. He was delivered over for His covenant people. And He was raised again to prove that Christ's death was accepted by the Father. The Father would have never raised Him from the dead if He had not accepted His sacrificial, substitutionary death. Thirdly, saints are still suffering for Him. Paul said, in which I suffer evil, even unto bonds or imprisonment. He was in prison. He was ready to be martyred under Nero. But he said, the Word of God is not bound. Why would you suffer for someone who was defeated? Someone who had lost. But Paul knew that Christ rose from the dead. He was suffering for Christ. What a cause. To die for your country is a good cause. But you can die for your country and go to hell. To die for mere philanthropy can profit nothing. To die for human rights might be a help in time, but not for eternity. But to die in Christ is to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Are you willing to suffer for the Savior? Many don't come to the Savior because they think they'll have to suffer. Christ said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Sinners still being saved by Him. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. What a message there is for sinners to be saved. Paul endured suffering and trial and persecution, gave up his great resume of a rabbi to follow the rabbi of rabbis, Jesus Christ. Oh, that we would see that Christ will save his people, Matthew 1:21, from their sins. Who are we persevering for as we suffer for Christ? We're desiring to see sinners saved. People that we've reached in Boston, in the South Towns, in the North Towns, in all of Western New York. The gospel tracts have gone out. This message is going out over the radio waves. Why do we endure? Why do we desire to continue to preach Christ? Not to get a name for our church or for our denomination. As John said, he, Christ, must increase. I must decrease. We spread the fame of Jesus Christ that precious souls might be delivered from the wrath of God. And finally, saints are still enjoying him. The apostle said, this is what's going to avert division. He said, of these things, verse 14, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit. He says, it's no profit to have divisions and to strive about things that mean nothing. But if everybody concentrates on the person and work of Jesus Christ, this is what brings the saints together. This is what avoids catastrophe and divisions in churches and families and fellowships. That we're not to wrangle about empty, trifling matters, but we're waging a battle to see souls saved and Christ exalted and vindicated. We're disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that we might see that this is what believers need for the enjoyment of life. Not to know every tidbit about what's going to happen to you and me. Not to have every one of our so-called temporal needs met. This isn't, at the end of the day, what really satisfies our souls. But to know that we've served the Lord and glorified Him. He'll take care of us. He'll provide food and shelter. We need to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. This is a living fact that Jesus rose from the dead, not just to be remembered at Easter or one Lord's Day a year. Every week, every day, we ought to remember that Christ rose from the dead. What hope there is. Christ said He is the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Him, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Does this message not capture you, friend? Does it not have that attracting power? May God use His Word today to save you and to use you for His own glory and praise.
Oh, everyone that is thirsty in spirit, oh, everyone that is weary and sad, come to the fountain, there's fullness in Jesus. All that you're longing for, come and be glad. I will pour water on him that is thirsty. I will pour floods upon the dry ground. Open your heart for the gift I am bringing. Why you're seeking me, I will be found. Child of the world, are you tired of your bondage? Weary of earth, joy so far, so untrue. Thirsting for God and His fullness of blessing. List to the promise, a message for you. I will pour water on him that is thirsty. I will pour floods upon the dry ground. Open your heart for the gift I am bringing. While you are seeking me, I will be found. Child of the kingdom, be filled with the Spirit. Nothing but fullness my longing can be. And you is for life and for service. Thine is the promise so certain, so sweet. I will pour water on him that is thirsty. I will pour floods upon the dry ground. Oh,
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of Berean Free Presbyterian Church, located in Boston, New York, just 35 minutes south of Buffalo, off Route 219. You may write to Pastor Phil Owen at Berean Free Presbyterian Church, 8435 Boston State Road, Boston, New York, 14025. That's Berean Free Presbyterian Church, 8435 Boston State Road, Boston, New York, 14025. Or you may call the church at area code 716-941-3199. Area code 716-941-3199. Also be sure to visit our website at www.freepres.org, www.freepres.org. If you're free next Lord's Day, we invite you to come and worship with us. Sunday school for all ages is at 10 a.m., and the church services are at 11 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. We also have a midweek Bible study and prayer meeting on Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock. Thank you for listening today. I trust that you'll join us again at the same time next week as once more we let the Bible speak.